welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. For Monday, the 14th day of September 2020, welcome back to the real world. Hope you had a good weekend. But here we are at Monday again. Time to get busy. Okay, show of hands. How many watched NFL football yesterday? Anybody? Anybody? Wow. I mean, I'm getting nothing. Oh, man. So many people are ticked off with the NFL. They're so tired of being preached at by these social justice warriors wearing football uniforms, these millionaires talking about how unjust and unfair life is while driving their expensive sport cars and living in their expensive homes and not really having a financial worry in the world. It's hypocrisy and it's insanity. It really is. And a lot of people are turning off NFL football. They're just not watching it. Full disclosure, I never have been a huge fan. So it wasn't actually all that hard for me. But honestly, my wife and I, we watch the Super Bowl. And we usually watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. That's about it. And we didn't last year because of all of the kneeling issues. Because frankly, we don't tune in to watch things to be preached at by people who aren't suffering and people who have proven that America is everything they say it's not, or it is not everything they say it is. So why should I or us, why should we help with ratings numbers and revenue coming that way? Why? Let them deal with it on their own. If they would like to pitch a fit, let them pitch a fit in their own room with no furniture on a bare floor. That's the way I look at it, which is the way you should deal with a kid pitching a fit at home. All right, in your room. No, I don't have to listen to you. You just go scream at the walls. That's fine. Have fun. And when you're done, you know, we'll sit down and talk about what you did wrong and why you can't have your way. No, I said, no screaming here. You go to your room. And this is the way we have to deal with these particular toddlers, because they are pitching a fit and they're ignoring reality and they just really, really don't care about the truth. They've made up their minds. Don't confuse them with the facts. Just don't. It's just amazing. Just amazing. Just quick side note here. Something else I just posted on social media just in the run up to the podcast today. There's this story that's been bouncing around over the weekend that Cynthia Nixon, she says that the comments made by J.K. Rowling about gender were really painful for her trans son. And I saw that and thought, you know, I can't help but compare this to somebody who insists on slamming themselves into a big rock or something and then whining about how they got hurt, you know? And so what I wrote on social media was, if you repeatedly slam your body into a steel-reinforced concrete wall, you're going to come away bruised, scraped, and defeated no matter how much you insist that the wall is unfair, unfeeling, uncaring, and hateful. Such is life when dealing with truth. You can disagree with it and insist that what you believe is real and viable, but in the end, you're still wrong no matter how emotionally invested you are in your view. And so, if you're upset that somebody's feelings are hurt because someone else is actually telling the truth about a particular subject that person is invested in, then you're the wrong. You're the one in the wrong. You're the one who's deceiving yourself and trying to convince other people that you're not deceived. So who's crazy here? It would be Cynthia Nixon. Because you can deny reality as long as you want to. Reality is still going to bite you. It still is. That's just how it is. It's kind of like a bear in a national park. If you insist that it's a big fuzzy thing and you get close to it, you're going to get bit. That's kind of how it works. How did I get off on that? I don't know. So it's been a bizarre weekend. It's been a horrible weekend. We've had a couple of cops horribly wounded, horribly victimized by a thug in Compton, California, in the LA area. We have kind of unclear security camera video of the event. We see this person run up to the window of the cop car, raise a pistol, and fire repeatedly, hitting two officers inside. And everyone who is an honest, reasonable, decent human being has expressed their shock and horror at what has happened. Everyone who is a vile, unthinkable, sadistic animal has tried some way to equivocate. And then there's politicians. Politicians. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden yesterday called for gun control less than 24 hours after two LA County Sheriff's deputies who were critically wounded in Compton after a gunman opened fire on their squad car in an apparent ambush. The former VP tweeted, "Weapons of war have no place in our communities. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines." Now, earlier, Joe Biden did call the shooting unconscionable and for the suspect to be brought to justice. He also said anyone who commits an act of violence should be caught and punished. His comments on the ambush and gun control stand in stark contrast to President Donald Trump. President Trump called for a fast trial with the possibility of the death penalty. Trump tweeted, "Animals that must be hit hard," referring to criminals who target law enforcement. He later tweeted, "If the deputies die, fast trial, death penalty for this killer, only way to stop this." He continued to attack his Democrat rival on Sunday, calling for tougher criminal sentencing guidelines and faster courts. Speaking at a roundtable campaign event in Las Vegas, Trump used Saturday night's ambush to highlight his campaign's law and order while casting Biden as weak on crime. He said he's not strong for law and order, and everybody knows that. When you see a scene like happened last night in California, just last night in California, with the two police people, a woman and a man shot at stone-cold short range. The 31-year-old female deputy, 24-year-old male deputy, underwent surgery late Saturday evening, were listed as in critical condition. They are surviving as of this moment. A manhunt for the suspect still underway. Gun control. Of course Joe Biden would start preaching about gun control. Weapons of war and high-capacity magazines. One, this shooter used a handgun. Most gun crime is committed with handguns. The overwhelming, vast majority of it, committed with weapons which can be tucked inside the waistband of whatever you happen to be wearing and covered by a shirt. You can't hide the bigger stuff. You can hide handguns. So, handguns are the weapon of choice for those committing gun crime. It's clear in the video. It's not anything like an AR-15. Let's go ahead and take that one apart, too. The AR-15 is not a weapon of war. It never has been. It's not a military weapon. It never has been. It looks like one. It's like somebody dressing up going to a Halloween party dressed as Iron Man. They're not really Iron Man. They just dressed up like Iron Man. The AR-15 is not a weapon of war. It's just kitted out to look like a weapon of war. It's not. It's a style. Underneath all of the accoutrement is basically a regular semi-automatic hunting rifle. It's not a weapon of war. That phrase, weapon of war, is used by leftist politicians to scare people, to make them think that people have weapons of war on the streets of America. It's a lie. There is no such thing. And high-capacity magazines? There are many videos online as we speak that you can go search for yourself, which will show cops in encounters with criminals under the influence of certain drugs, and cops empty a magazine, drop it, pop another one in, and keep shooting, and these people keep coming. High-capacity magazines. The individual on the street, the average guy or gal who has chosen to protect themselves by legally carrying a firearm should not be prevented from having the same advantage, the same possibility of having more rounds at hand to defend themselves from someone who is crazed by the drugs they're on. And as usual, when someone like Vice President Joe Biden trots out the weapons of war and high-capacity magazines line, they're attempting to tell their ardent followers that they care. They care more, and they're smarter. They're trying to show them that they believe this is the solution. When, if they actually were able to do what they just said needed to happen, if they banned the AR-15, and if they banned nationwide high-capacity magazines and had done so 50 years ago, so there were none available to anyone anywhere, those two cops would still be in the hospital. Because neither one of those things was used in that shooting. And neither one of those things are used in the vast majority of shootings. Weapons of war and high-capacity magazines, it's just part of the big anti-gun lie. It's politicians pretending to be busy doing something important when all they're doing is throwing crap at the wall to see what will stick. And sadly, with the people who trust them, everything sticks. So when they say weapons of war have no place in our communities, we need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, the unthinking, uninformed sheeple who follow them bleat agreeingly and adoringly and say, oh, they're so compassionate and they're so wise. We should really put them into places of responsibility and power to make this a safer country. Which brings us back to square one on this entire issue. You and me. You and me. We have to be responsible. We have to step up. We have to make sure that nobody like Joseph R. Biden has access to the Oval Office, because they're completely and totally clueless. They're disconnected from reality. They propose solutions which are not solutions. And in the end, they're just going to get more people killed. We have to do something on Election Day. And what we have to do on Election Day is to overwhelmingly vote Donald Trump back into office again in an Electoral College win that negates the Democrat plan to overturn the election with the mail-in vote. That's what we have to do. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. All of a sudden, there's no bumper. There's no intro bumper music, and I don't know what's... What? Hold on a second. Let me have a talk with my computer. What are you doing? Anyway, I'll fix that in the next break. It is a it's a Monday edition of the podcast, and during the break, I'm scanning the email and social media, and I'm amazed. I am just amazed. Oh, back to the shooting. Another thing that happened was after the shooting occurred, BLM supporters and activists showed up at the emergency room at the hospital where these two cops were taken, blocked the emergency room entrance, and tried to prevent other people from getting in and being treated. They wanted to be there to protest. They were there screaming things like, "We hope you die. You're all going to die one by one." These people have been whipped into a frenzy. They've been whipped into a frenzy by the rhetoric of the left. And as a result, cops are being targeted. They're being ambushed. They're being murdered. Just before midnight Saturday night, two L.A. County officers, a 31-year-old mother of six, a 6-year-old boy, a 24-year-old male cop, shot in the head in a cold-blooded ambush, sitting in their patrol car. Larry Elder, he's a longtime black radio host, conservative in L.A. He was the lone conservative black voice on local radio in L.A. for decades. He furiously denounced the attack. Here's what he said. "Thanks, Black Lives Matter, Barack Obama, DNC, CNN, MSNBC, the Reverend Al, condescending woke media, condescending woke academia, and condescending woke Hollywood for pushing the lie that cops kill blacks just because they're black. This is the result. Happy?" Actor James Woods, who's been forcefully condemning the rioters and looters who've ravaged the United States this summer, and who is a staunch supporter of police around the country, tweeted succinctly, "Brilliant. Thank you," in response to Larry Elder. Recently, responding to a caller who accused him of denying police were guilty of systemic racism, Larry Elder gave a short dissertation on exactly why he believed what he believed, saying, "Recent years, the police have killed an average of 1,000 people each year. This is in a population of 350 million Americans. Some 40 million are black. I've heard the number 35, 35, 32. It's around in there, okay? In the last 60 years, according to the Centers for Disease Control, the rate at which people have shot and killed blacks declined 75%. Last year, near as we can figure out, there were 25 unarmed black people killed. Not just shot and killed, but killed by many other ways. 25. At least as many unarmed whites have been killed by the police as unarmed blacks. Where's the outcry? Of all the people the police killed, less than 4% are white, cop-killing, unarmed black person. And again, unarmed person does not necessarily mean not dangerous. Michael Brown was unarmed, was perceived recently as dangerous. His DNA was found on the officer's gun. And, for example, that immigrant was killed in New York some years ago. Amadou Diallo, he was cornered. The police had a suspect who looked like him. They had the wrong guy. They asked him to show his hands. He reached into his pocket to pull out his wallet. Police thought he was going for a firearm, blew him away. Hillary pronounced the people who killed him murderers publicly. Then, later on, apologized because there hadn't been a trial yet, hadn't been one word of testimony yet. All of them were found not guilty by a multi-ethnic jury. So just because you're unarmed does not necessarily mean you are not reasonably perceived as dangerous. So when you get down to those that were unarmed and were not reasonably perceived as dangerous, you're talking about a tiny, tiny fraction, even less than the 4% of all the people that were killed by the police. Larry Elder, if nothing else, is accurate. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He's a black man in conservative radio. And liberals treat him like a leper. He's a black man on conservative radio who's right. And when he tweets, thanks Black Lives Matter, Barack Obama, the DNC, CNN, MSNBC, the Reverend Al, condescending woke media, condescending woke academia, and condescending woke Hollywood for pushing the lie that cops kill blacks just because they're black, this is the result. Happy? He is 100% correct. 100% correct. Because of the rhetoric being spouted by Black Lives Matter, the lie, echoed by Barack Obama, echoed by the DNC, unquestioned by CNN and MSNBC, supported by the Reverend Al Sharpton, the condescending woke media, condescending woke academia, condescending woke Hollywood, all pushing that lie that the cops are killing the blacks just because they're black. Just because of that, good people, family people, people whose entire focus on the job is protecting your community, protecting you from vicious thugs who don't care about your well-being, they just want your stuff. Those people, the good guys, are getting hunted down and caught and killed. And it's all because of Black Lives Matter, Barack Obama, the DNC, CNN, MSNBC, the Reverend Al, and all the rest of the condescending woke people in the country. Every bit of the blood is on their hands. All of it. And it's time, as I said before the end of the first break, it's time. You and I have got to stand up to it. We've got to do the responsible thing. We've got to start at the top and make sure that the right president is put back into office again. And then we've got to get focused on our localities. We got to get focused on our county, our city, our states. We got to get focused on the people close by that we can actually influence and touch. And if they won't listen, we got to replace them. Because if we don't, they'll keep doing exactly the same thing. Remember, Joe Biden, out of one side of his mouth, says that this is unconscionable. And out of the other side of his mouth says, we got to get rid of weapons of war and high-capacity magazines. These people have the same mentality. They want to apply solutions which aren't answers to the problem. It's like insisting that somebody have the flu vaccine when they've got a scraped knee. The two things don't jive. They don't relate. And yet they keep insisting, we're the experts. We know what we're talking about. Trust us. No, they're political, blithering idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just repeating what their handlers tell them must be said. They're doing everything they do and saying everything they say in order to sway uninformed, gullible people to voting for them. It's all about votes. Legally speaking, people like Joe Biden and those behind him, pushing him forward, who would take America's gun rights away from them. Oh, but they're not going to do that. Oh, shut up. Yes, they are. They've said so. Dianne Feinstein has actually said so. With her own lips to news people.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it. I could not do that. The votes weren't here.
Not only were the votes not there, Senator Feinstein, the legal support in the Constitution wasn't there. That's why the votes weren't there. Because those people who wouldn't vote with you understood that their constituents knew the Constitution. Their constituents knew the law. Their constituents knew that they could not stand behind something illegal that you were pushing. So if you don't think these people want to take things away from you, you're ignoring the truth. You are blissfully ignorant because you don't want to be informed of things you disagree with. It's kind of like I talked about just a little while ago, slamming yourself into that concrete wall over and over and over again because you believe a certain thing. And that concrete wall won't let you keep believing. It stands wholly against everything you say is real and true. And it hurts your feelings. But that's life with the truth, my friend. The truth doesn't care about your feelings. The truth is the truth. Facts are facts. And the fact is that Joe Biden and the Democrats want to take away your means of defending yourself and your family. They're on record. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for a Monday, the 14th day of September 2020. How you doing? You all right? Hope you are. Hope life is good for you and yours. Hope you had a good weekend. Ours was quiet. Not a lot going on. Jane was working Saturday. I was trying to work Saturday. I'm not going to whine about this, but got down on the garage floor to do some work on the underside of the car. Was yanking things around and moving things, moving jack stands, getting things up in the air and all. And I got under the car and realized there wasn't enough room, so I got back out again and grabbed the jack and got it further up in the air, propped things up a little bit higher so I could move around with a little bit more comfort trying to... I'm pulling the transmission off this car, so I needed enough room to be able to maneuver so that I could reach for things, grab things and such, and not be, you know, not feel like I have the underside of the car right at the end of my nose. And I've moved everything around and I got the car further up in the air. And at some point I did something. I don't know what I did when. All I know is that I got this quick message from my back that said, no, not doing that. Just not. No, go sit down. And I've been babying my back ever since. And so I'm going to see a chiropractor today. I've managed to tweak something that is making life really uncomfortable. So, as long as I'm sitting still, like I do here, I'm sitting in one place. I'm not too bad. Getting up and moving around, that's rough. So, when I get through processing the podcast today, I've got one other thing I've got to get handled before I can do anything else. But once I get through, with studio work this morning, I'm off. I'm out of here. Going to see somebody who will tweak my vertebrae and hopefully relieve my pain. And there we have it. Hang on here. Let me see what this is. Let's see. Yep. Well, good. All right. Now, let's see. Yeah, let's get back to this general story. And that is about guns and gun control and gun violence. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but if you drive into Austin, Texas on Interstate 35, there are two billboards that have been put up to warn you. They were put up by the Texas Municipal Police Association, One billboard says, warning, Austin defunded police. Enter at your own risk. The other billboard reads, limited support next 20 miles. Austin City Council voted last week, or last month, that is, to cut the police budget. And so the guys at the Texas Municipal Police Association said, well, we should warn people. And here's part of this story. Today, TMPA, the Texas Municipal Police Association, released two billboards along Interstate 35 entering Austin intended to raise public awareness that Austin is a defunded city. This reckless act, a political stunt by the city council pandering to the radical left, will do nothing but endanger the people of Austin. As the largest police association in Texas, it's our duty and responsibility to stand up for the brave men and women of the APD, as well as the other law enforcement agencies with jurisdiction within the city limits, which will have less of APD's resources to depend upon, and to raise public awareness of the dangers of defunding not just Austin, but any city across the U.S. Texas top politicians have praised the campaign. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick called attention to this great new billboard campaign, included a picture and the hashtag #BackTheBlue. He tweeted, thank you to the Texas Municipal Police Association for these great new billboards that went up in Austin today. Ooh. The Austin, Texas government ignored public safety and made a dangerous decision to defund police. Big mistake. Back the blue. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas also tweeted about the billboards. He included the hashtag Texas Backs the Blue, saying billboard on I-35 warns enter at your own risk after Austin votes to defund police. CBS Austin previously reported that Abbott asked all Texans and candidates for political office to sign a pledge against defunding the police. So this whole defund the police thing is just one more huge lie perpetrated by Black Lives Matter and those who sympathize with this Marxist organization. Defunding the police is a classic Marxist move. They play victims against a certain segment of the population or a certain part of authority. And because people tend to emotionally identify with victims, it works with the gullible who will just not check into things, who will not do their own research. And so a lot of people today fervently believe that police are victimizing Black people. It's because they've been told so. It's a lie, but they've been told so again and again and again. So it must be true, right? Same principle, different scenario. Muslims. The Muslim community has been playing the victim, not just for decades, but for centuries. And as a result, you have the entire Palestinian movement. People believing that the Palestinians are oppressed people. Completely ignorant of the fact that there never really has been a Palestine. Completely ignorant of the fact that that terminology, the naming of that region was done by a Caesar of Rome as an insult to the Jewish people. Not because there actually was a land. But people don't know that, and they don't want to know that. They just want to feel sorry for somebody. So, oh, those poor Palestinians. It's just not fair how they've been treated. And so, they're the victim. And playing the victim works. Just look at everything going on in society around us. Everybody's a victim. Yeah, that's the key to racism.
Everything is racist.
Because racism creates a victim class, and those victims get sympathy, and that sympathy ignores reality. Because emotionalism kicks in, and you stop thinking, and you start feeling. You feel sorry. Oh, the plight of these people. The cops are hunting them down and killing them. Innocent people. Yeah. Most recently, was it Philadelphia? Is it Philly? Oh, gosh, I just don't remember. I saw the reports this morning, and I didn't. But we've got people going insane, pounding on the doors of a police precinct, demanding justice because the cop shot another black guy. But we have the body cam video. You can see the cop's arm, the gun extended, pointing towards the black guy, mouth open, screaming, right arm raised above his head, with a huge knife, running at the police officer with a knife over his head, ready to strike, screaming. But the cops killed a poor, innocent black man. He's a victim. You see, the victim mentality is killing the United States of America, because enough people, I'm just going to say it, enough people are too stupid to think for themselves and to realize they're being lied to. They're being manipulated. And that takes us back to the top of the podcast. Show of hands. How many people watched NFL football yesterday and let them preach at you with the names of murderers and rapists on their uniforms and helmets? Kneeling or not showing up on the field for the national anthem, but standing for what they're calling the black national anthem. It's not fact. It's not reality. It's all emotionalism and make-believe. And once again, the truth doesn't care about your emotions. You can keep pounding on it and pounding on it and pounding on it. You're not making a dent in that wall, because the truth doesn't care about your emotional appeal. The facts tell us the complete opposite of what your emotions want to believe. And so here we have a situation in America today where the cities are being destroyed, the Democrat-controlled cities are being destroyed and burned every night, and it's all because they're blaming the cops for killing black people. And the statistics tell us the opposite. The statistics tell us, yeah, sometimes there are mistakes made. Mistakes. Larry Elder covered one a little while ago in the story I told you about him, where a guy in New York was told, let us see your hands, keep your hands where we can see them. He puts a hand in his pocket to go for his ID. He was told not to. In a situation like that, where somebody fits the description of someone who is known to be armed and dangerous, when they reach in their pockets, the cops take the next logical move, which is to stop this person from going after whatever happens to be in his pocket. Because if he matches the description of a stone-cold killer and he's reaching into his pocket, statistics tell us that what he's reaching for is not a flower to give to the cops. But those idiots kneeling on the sidelines at NFL games, those idiots who've put the names of rapists and murderers on their helmets, those idiots can't be bothered with reality, can't be bothered with the truth. They've got to embrace a cause, because they want to seem important and relevant. But they aren't. They're uninformed, and they're beating their heads against a brick wall, even though that brick wall's never going to give. And they're trying to convince other people to step up to the wall and pound their brains into mush alongside them. Don't do it. Embrace the truth. It's a lot less painful sometimes. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, September 14th, 2020. And if it sounds like I'm angry today, it's because I kind of am. I'm sick and tired of the worst elements of our society dictating the rules of the game to everyone else. I'm kind of on the same page with Candace Owens, who says she can't understand why Black America defends the worst people among their community. And I think the reason they do that is because they firmly believe the lies, the hype. And it's all because what I described earlier, the victimhood mentality, that whole victim thing, it plays well. It gets you stuff. And I think that's why. I think in part, I think that's why. And there's something else I'm mad about. And I think a lot of people are. $90 billion goes a long way in saying, yeah, people are mad. When a business loses $90 billion of their net worth in a negative reaction to something they've done, I think it's fair to say people are a little bit ticked off about something they did. And that something is Netflix and the film Cuties. I don't have to tell you about this. I don't have to describe it. You know. And if you don't know, I encourage you to please just put Cuties in a search engine and you'll see story after story after story after story. There's tons of them out there. And this coming to us from Newsbusters. Several big name publications have decided to go on defense for a Netflix movie that hypersexualizes little girls. And to think some of us are unsure about calling the media the enemy of the people. Outlets like Rolling Stone, the Los Angeles Times, the Telegraph, and the New Yorker defended the film as worth seeing and a nice coming-of-age story, and condemned critics as crazies from the right wing who are, I'm going to quote here, who are afraid of child sexuality. End quote. Afraid of child sexuality. Yeah. It is that heinous. Backstory. In August, news broke that a Netflix movie from France called Cuties, in English, featuring sexualized young girls, would debut on the platform in the fall. Of course, controversy ensued when uncomfortable folks, appalled at seeing the film's promo material featuring preteens in skimpy outfits, got hold of an early review from Screen Daily of the French film, which claimed it contained scenes of twerking preteen bodies. That's disturbing. Of course, the review attempted to justify these scenes as teaching a moral lesson. It claimed the scenes were explicitly designed to shock mature audiences into a contemplation of today's destruction of innocence. Most people, especially normal people who love their children, were appalled that the movie would even feature hypersexualized twerking girls to prove a point about hypersexualized twerking girls. What was weirder was that the review even went so far as to call Cuties a, quote, film for and about kids, end quote. The Media Research Council's Cultures, Elise Erhard, put it a bit more precisely, calling Cuties a film for predators and groomers. Since the news originally broke, a change.org petition has been making the rounds to have the film removed from Netflix. When the film debuted on the streaming platform last Wednesday, scenes proved even more shocking than anyone had anticipated. In a clip from Cuties that went viral due to its repugnancy, the little girls perform a very sexual dance on stage before a large audience. Not only are the girls depicted twerking, but they are shown gyrating, thrusting their hips, and making sexually provocative gestures with their arms and hands. It is appalling. What was even more appalling was that not everyone was on the same page in terms of denouncing the film. Big outlets were defending the hypersexual underage footage and gaslighting readers into thinking that attacks on the film were a coordinated hit piece by right-wing media. Oh, those evil puritanical right-wingers. Have you noticed that right-wingers tend not to be the puritanical overlords that we're made out to be? There was a time, I'm old enough to remember Jerry Falwell and the Moral Majority, there was a time when a segment of the right wing stood up and wagged their righteous, their bony finger of righteous indignation at the rest of the world for being lost and going to hell, and saying we had to clean up our society or face the consequences. Now, I don't necessarily disagree with cleaning up the society or facing the consequences, because we are seeing the consequences right now. There are ways to do it that actually work, though. And what they were doing didn't actually work. It actually ran more people away than it attracted. But today, the preachy people, wagging their bony fingers of righteous indignation at the rest of us, with very few exceptions, are progressives who are embracing this film. Rolling Stone dismissed concerns over the movie with the headline for their September 9th film review referring to it as a coming-of-age movie caught in the culture wars. First of all, there's nothing of age about this movie. These little girls are 11. Secondly, this shouldn't be a right or left or culture war thing. It's objectively reprehensible. The Rolling Stone piece added, quote, "Here's what the film's not: a salacious bit of pedo bait designed to appeal to baser instincts rather than better angels." Clearly, Rolling Stone didn't see the movie or the clip. And let me clarify something. A film doesn't have to be designed to appeal to baser instincts rather than better angels. The baser instincts will find what they need in what you produce. And if you produce something inadvertently which appeals to them, it's still going to appeal to them whether you intended it to or not. In their review, the Los Angeles Times called Cuties a film worth seeing. And they bashed the people who condemned it at sight unseen. You know, angry right-wingers who have problems with children freely expressing themselves sexually. This is the same publication that praises the sparkle that drag queens can bring to child audiences at drag queen story hour. So there's that. The New Yorker defended the film as well in a review with this title, Cuties, the extraordinary Netflix debut that became the target of a right-wing campaign. It should be the target of a Child Protective Services sting operation, ideally. And the most depraved film review in the history of mankind, possibly, was written by the British paper The Telegraph, which called Cuties, quote, "a provocative powder keg for an age terrified by child sexuality." Really? We have a stigma against child sexuality? Oh, we're sorry we haven't caught up to that kind of progress. What has happened to our culture? If you haven't canceled Netflix, I suggest that you seriously consider it. They're responding to people's concerns with saying, It's a movie you should watch. If you haven't watched it, don't pass judgment on it. Really? There's any number of people who have watched it since Wednesday. They're online with their descriptions and their concerns about it. You don't have to watch it. There are people out there you can trust. Yep. Sick and twisted. And pointing their fingers at us for raising concern. Hey, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.